Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and if this is the fourth Friday from 2:30 to 4, or is it the first Friday? No,
first
not Friday.
Fourth Monday.
The fourth Monday. What am I talking about? I got my days mixed up. Okay, take two. If this is the fourth Monday from 2:30 to 4, it must be The Boss and the Ballerina, starring Tom Bosmeyer and the lovely Caroline Atkinson, owner and founder of Ballet Academy of Arizona. Tom and Caroline, it's nice to see you again.
How are you, Dave?
Hey, Dave, it's great to be here. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes, Happy New Year.
That's right. Now, you've never sat together. You look like a cute couple.
Oh, God.
We are.
Yes.
Adorable. What? Caroline immediately said yes, and you had to think about it. What's going on here? Okay, he's laughing. Anyway, what a great show today. We have several people that are in studio and will be in studio. Some great guests. Tom, do you want to do the honors of introducing, or Caroline, either one, because Tom is photographing me, and I'll have autographs later.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun show today, everyone. We got a whole group of people, but we're going to be talking about, again, kids and what we can do to help them break through, since that's Dave's big marketing, branding here. We're all for that. We all have to help each other. But let's start it off with number one. Just recently, I met this gentleman, and it reminds me a lot of myself. Probably, unfortunately, he's a lot younger than I am today, but still, he's a fun guy. He's inspirational, and he's a leader by every definition. And Frank Kitchen is his name. Now, Frank is multi-talented. He's an inspirational speaker, a model. That part didn't remind me of myself. He's an actor. That part didn't remind me of myself. Business owner and author. Actually, he's very tall. So maybe we don't resemble each other that much. But Frank is a great guy, and he's a man of many talents. Just what I found very interesting, and I know he could speak about all that, which we won't have time for today, but what I liked was on his website, and we talked about it, one of the facts is, are you always happy or smiling? Because every time I see him, he is. And his quote is, every day I wake up is a gift. So I work on making the most out of every day and enjoying all of the little things. I also smile a lot when I get nervous.
He's smiling quite a bit right now.
Smiling. Yeah. So he's on a radio show.
No, but if he's a speaker and a motivational speaker and actor, he's not getting nervous. This guy's comfortable. Am I right?
Oh, you are correct. I'm saying you can see how much my hands are shaking right now.
Wow. No, he looks calm. Give him the shake test. Okay. So welcome, Frank. This is very exciting. Frank Kitchen. Now, is that a stage name, by the way?
That is not a stage name, but thank you for having me out. Most people think Kitchen that maybe I'm a cook or something like that, because I had an email one time that said Kitchen Frank, and when you start to cash a few checks and they see that kitchen piece there, they go, it has to be a stage name. I'm like, no. And most people ask if I'm a cook. They want to ask a chef. I'm like, nope, that's just the name that my parents gave me.
Wow. Right. Now, growing up with Frank Kitchen.
Oh, yeah, lots of jokes.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite jokes that you can say on the radio?
Favorite jokes I can say on the radio. First one was playing basketball or playing any type of sport. You name the room in the house, I was pretty much called that one. So living room, bathroom, dining room. Any of those names that became my new nickname.
Wow.
The other one is, name is Frank Kitchen, so I think I've heard, can you cook Frank's in the kitchen?
Yeah.
When I was in school, I think there were some kids. We had a Stephanie Campbell, a Matthew Sink, and a Matt Cook. So I believe it's something about the cook opened Campbell's soup in the sink in the kitchen.
That is so cool. Wow, those are some good memories.
Yeah. Oh, those
and they're all positive. At least you didn't have a name like, I don't know, I'd have to think of one maybe after the break.
It does get worse, and I'll just let your listeners figure this one out, but my full name is Frank Cornelius Kitchen. And that means my parents had a really terrible sense of humor because when you start to figure out your initials, they are FCK.
Oh, okay.
And we'll just leave it at that one right there because this is a clean family show.
Yes, we'll be editing that. Okay, thank you. Let's immediately move to our other guest.
Yeah, and actually what I wanted, and we do have to keep moving here, but I want Frank to introduce the young gentleman who's a good friend of his and Frank, why don't you just go ahead and introduce
Should I use the radio
Dakota.
Voice?
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the next person coming up on our show today, his name is Dakota Johns. This young, inspirational individual is not only a motivational speaker and owns his own business, but at 17 years old, he competes in Special Olympics. He raises money for charities. He's a Boy Scout. He's actually been down to the state capitol to, what'd you do, dear Dakota?
To protest.
To protest for rights for anybody with special needs.
Oh.
And this young gentleman has actually spoken around the country, including speaking in Omaha, Nebraska. So please put your hands together for Mr. Dakota Johns.
Wow.
Yay!
Dakota, now, welcome, Dakota. You have a great name as well. In fact, there's a very famous actress, actually, with the same name. Who is it? For 10 points.
It's Dakota Fanning.
Absolutely.
Yay!
She was fantastic, I'll tell you. Now she's in the Twilight films. Okay. Now, I do like Twilight anyway. So Dakota, welcome. I hear you're a huge sports fan.
Yes.
And one of your dreams, your goal is to become what?
A sports broadcaster.
That is so cool. Now, if you were a broadcaster, who do you think you'd want to broadcast for? What team comes to mind? It could be in let's say in Phoenix since you live here.
I wanted to broadcast for the Phoenix Suns.
The Suns? You're a big Suns fan.
Yes, and also a Miami Heat fan too.
Oh, you like LeBron James?
Yes.
They just beat the Los Angeles Lakers last night.
Yes, I watched the game last night.
Well, Kobe didn't play too well, did he?
No, he did not.
But LeBron did.
Yeah, he did.
He is good, I have to say. We have sort of bashed LeBron a couple times on the show. But that's only because, well, that's a different story. You can go to archive shows. But he is one of the best players in the league, if not the best.
He is, yes.
Wow, so you want to broadcast, you want to take Al McCoy out of his job.
Yes.
Have you met Al McCoy before?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, this is exciting. Frank, do you think he has a chance to take Al McCoy out of his job?
I think so. I actually saw him down, who are you with, Bruce Cooper?
Yes.
And I think he told Bruce Cooper he actually helped do a Diamondbacks play-by-play, and he told Bruce Cooper that he wanted his job.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so broadcasting for the Suns, second choice to broadcast. What team?
The Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, you like the Clippers because they got Chris Paul? Is that why?
Yes.
Were you sad that the Lakers didn't get him when David Stern came in and said, no, you can't do that deal?
Yes.
Yeah, we weren't happy about that.
No.
I wanted him to be a Laker. Wow. Tom's amazed I know about the sports stuff. Well, we have a sports show, that's why, every Wednesday and Friday from 2 to 4 called Breakthrough Sports. So tell me, when did you first really get into sports? How old were you?
I was like 14 or 15 years of age.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the first thing you remember? What was one of the which sport did you really enjoy first?
Not baseball. I was enjoying basketball.
So you really like basketball?
Yes.
Yeah. That is a fun sport, isn't it?
Yes, and I've been playing basketball with Frank, too.
Oh, you guys play basketball?
Yes. Yeah, there's a basketball on Sunday night a friend does down here in Phoenix. It's called Basketball at the Brick House.
Oh.
And we go down there on Sunday nights to play, and we first started taking Dakota down to play, and there's some guys down there about 6'6", 6'7".
Oh.
Dakota's not afraid to guard these guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
And his mom said, let him play with the big guys, you know, don't hold him back.
And how do you do?
I did very good in taking charges, too.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You've never fouled out, I bet.
Yeah, so the fun one is the one night we had 11 guys, and I'm like, let's Dakota come on, we'll just play 6-on-5. Well, Dakota started getting open and hitting shots. Came back the next week, asked him, can we play 6-on-5 again? They said no. They said Dakota was too good.
Dakota, I'm curious. If you could interview your basketball star right now, who would it be, and what would be, you know, the question you'd like to ask him?
I would ask LeBron James.
Mm.
The question I'm going to ask him is that, what kind of interest do you like?
Okay, the type of, what interest does he like, other than probably basketball?
Yes.
I would guess since when the lockout was happening, it was probably football. That's what he was playing, and they were all worried about that. Now, let me ask you this. That was a great question, Mr. Tom. Now, last year's finals, phenomenal. Were you disappointed when the Mavericks beat the Heat?
I was very disappointed.
Yes, I can imagine.
I now want the Mavericks to win. I want the Miami Heat to win.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think most people thought the Heat would win, but it didn't quite work out. And Dallas, you got to hand it to them. They did play well, didn't
they? Yes, they did, yes.
Who on the Dallas team that you thought stood out?
Dirk Nowitzki.
Wow, you do know your spot. How about Jason Terry?
He's an all-around shooter.
Yeah, it was very exciting. I was watching that series. Actually, I was on a cruise, and they had the Stanley Cup Finals playing, and I'm a big hockey fan, but they also had the NBA Finals at the same time. And guess what? I did choose a couple times to watch the basketball because I was so into it. I got to admit, I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan. What can I say? Tom?
Well, no, I have a question for everybody. Michael Jordan's the best ever. Who's the number two? Who would?
Oh, good question.
Who
good
could
question.
Ever be is considered in number two? Let's put it that. I don't think there's going to be another number one.
I think that'd be Kobe Bryant.
Okay, Kobe.
Kobe. Frank, what do you think?
I have to stick with Dakota. I have to go with Kobe Bryant too.
Wow, Kobe Bryant two or Kobe Bryant?
Well, maybe Kobe Bryant number 8 and Kobe Bryant 24.
Okay, let's go to Tom. Who did
hey,
you say?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Will Chamberlain.
You're from Philly.
The days of Chamberlain?
I'm a Philly boy. And Chamberlain, well, yeah, but I'm more Kobe's age than Wilt's age.
Yes. Okay, how
Kobe's
about,
from Philadelphia.
How about Caroline? Caroline, do you have an answer?
Oh, I'm going with Tom.
Okay. You're going with
to
Tom.
Philadelphia. Here we go.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, I would say Kobe, but, you know, there are some people of the past. So you got Magic Johnson, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor. Well, at least I'd say West, Magic Johnson. How about Larry Bird? I mean, you got some really phenomenal players. It'd be really hard to pick maybe a number two because you can't go wrong with Kobe Bryant. I mean, I would agree. I mean, the impact he's made. So anyway, why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Frank and Dakota and add two more guests. This is going to be great because we're going to add more and more guests. And this is the Boss and the Ballerina Show starring Tom Bossmeyer and, I should say, Tom the Boss Bossmeyer and Caroline Atkinson, owner and founder of Ballet Academy of Arizona. And we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hershberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hershberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hershberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hershberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Boss and the Ballerina show every fourth Monday from 2:30 to 4, starring Tom, the Boss, Boss Meyer, and Caroline Atkinson, owner and founder of Ballet Academy of Arizona. We have in studio Frank Kitchen, and we also have Dakota Johns in studio, a young upcoming star as a sports broadcaster. And he knows his sports. Now, of course, Frank is, I'm going to send him to the kitchen. No, that's his last name. But he's, a motivational speaker, an actor, and what else do you do?
I get to hang out with Dakota all the time.
Oh.
I'm kind of like Dakota's sidekick.
Hey, that's sort of cool. I like that.
Yeah,
and,
I do, too.
Are you going to be playing at the Improv?
No, we won't be playing at the Improv, but Dakota does a lot of work with Special Olympics.
Oh,
and
nice.
And next week, Special Olympics has a conference on Friday, and Dakota and I will be some of the speakers there at the conference.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how cool. That's right, because you're an inspirational speaker, too.
That's right.
And do you have a business that you own?
Yes, I do.
What do you have?
I own my own pet sitting business.
A pet? And is it called Dakota's Amazing Animal Pet Care?
That's correct.
That is very cool. So you must like animals.
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite animal?
Mostly horses.
You like horses?
Yes.
Do you ride horses?
Yes.
Do you race horses?
No.
Do you breed horses?
No.
Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, but anyway, it sounds good to me. Wow, you're multi-talented.
I am, yes.
Yes, that's very
cool.
He's
modest, too.
Yes, exactly. All right, well, Caroline, we have a couple more guests rolling into the studio. Remember that song, Rolling? What was that? Creedence Clearwater Revival?
Mm-hmm. Rolling Down the River.
And I hear you're going to sing that today. Tom said you would.
Right.
Okay, I'm just kidding. All right, so who else do we have in here?
We have two of our wonderful moms who have girls who are involved with our ballet academy. We have Kimberly Warner and Michelle Gannon.
Well, welcome, both of you, to Breakthrough Thinking, and this is the Boss and the Ballerina. So, Michelle and Kimberly, you want to talk a little bit about how you're involved with Caroline?
Well, my daughter Claire started dancing with Caroline years and years ago, and she follows her formal ballet instruction and does the Royal Academy of Dance syllabus with Caroline. And she also has performed in productions for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. I think we had six Nutcrackers one year that she got the chance to be in, two Cinderellas, holiday festivals, and Peter Pan, I guess, was another one of the really fun ones that we did.
Wow, that is very, very cool. And Michelle, how are you involved?
Well, I believe it was last August that we first became introduced to Miss Caroline. My daughter she receives occupational therapy services at UCP, Central Arizona. And one of her therapists said, you know, there's this ballet coming up that I think Chelsea would really be interested in trying out for or participating in. And, you know, that was something that I really hadn't given much thought to. My daughter has dyspraxia, which is a movement disorder. And so planned movements are very difficult for her. And so ballet hadn't really been an idea for us before. But seeing that this was a production that included typical and special needs kids, I thought, well, let's give it a try and see how this can go.
That is so cool. Now, we've had other moms in the studio before, And I've always asked this question, what does Caroline mean to you as moms and to your kids?
Wow. How long is this show?
It is a marathon. We're on till next Saturday. We're bringing a TV, a big screen in for Dakota so we don't miss any sports action.
Nice. I would love that.
Yeah, see?
It has been just an amazing experience for us. I mean, things that I never thought that she would be able to participate in. She loves it. The whole week she was saying, I can't wait to go to ballet. I can't wait to go to ballet. Every morning she wakes up and comes and tells me, I can't wait to go to ballet. Mm-hmm. It's on the calendar. She runs to the calendar, looks at the calendar, ballet. I mean, she loves this. This has been life-changing for her. It's been an amazing experience.
Well, how old is she?
She is 10 years old.
10 years old. That is so cool. And Kimberly, how about you? How is this impacted your life as well as your kids' life?
Well, I would say it's impacted our entire family. It's really a family production for us. So many of us have been involved in so many different ways. And I think that everybody who is a part of the Ballet Academy of Arizona would feel the same way. We all work together doing sets and choreographing and planning parties and doing so much together as a family. I think that's been really important for us. Is that it's a way that we get to spend time with our kids. And so often with extracurricular activities, you know, you're leaving your child there. And it's something that we all did together, which has been important.
Now, before meeting Caroline, the other families, the other moms always said, all of a sudden there was hope. That's how they described it. They didn't think anything was possible in this arena. And is that how you see it, too, that it gave you sort of a ray of hope?
Well, all of my children are typical children.
Yeah.
And what I have found that they're learning is they're learning a lot about the people around them and about themselves.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed with my kids is that they're recognizing talent in all the forms that it comes in. And they see that everyone has a contribution to make. And I feel like being a part of this program, they're learning to grow up to be confident people who look for talent in everyone that they meet.
So in your case, so it, you have typical children,
I
and
do.
That's quite a that would be different. It gave them maybe a new perspective and of integrating in leadership of really maybe an attitude of gratitude too.
An attitude of gratitude, and they've, you know, they've been exposed to things that they normally wouldn't get to see in life, and they've learned so much from the kids around them. And the truth is they don't recognize that they're with kids who may have special needs, quite honestly. It's during our Cinderella production recently, one of the local news channels did a news block on us, and my daughter shared the video in the segment with her classmates. And after, her teacher kept saying to her, well, tell us what's different about your ballet group. Nothing? No. Can you please tell us, why is your dance troupe different? They're not. the teacher told me she it was dragging things. And, well, they're all dancers. Well, there's boys and girls. Well, some are older than I am. And she could never recognize that maybe what she was in was a unique environment because she's been doing it for so many years. It's to her, they're just her friends.
See,
you know?
That is such a cool thing. That's what the world needs more of, is that she's able evidently to see the inner beauty of everyone's soul.
Well, and everyone is making a huge contribution. Every child that shows up there is contributing to the performance. And I think that's important, is that they see that everyone has something to bring.
That is so cool. Now, how about Michelle? How have you... does it make sense that maybe there was a little bit more hope afterwards showing that, hey, there's a lot more possibilities and opportunities that you ever thought possible?
I would say for sure that I think meeting people, meeting different parents and hearing their stories and seeing, you know, how far they've come with their challenges in life is just always motivating, inspiring. But then also meeting, you know, the parents and children who are typical that want to be part of this production, because I know other, you know, ballet productions that, you know, there's a lot of focus on this sense of perfection. And for some of our kids, that's not always going to be a possibility that they're going to be able to have perfection in all movement. So to be with other kids that are wanting to be a part of an integrated group and not looking at them as special needs, but as part of their dance troupe is very inspiring for me.
That really is. Now Caroline, when you hear this about what you've created, the pathways for whether it's typical kids or special needs kids, how does that make you feel?
I just, it's kind of a, it's just how it is. It's just seeing the beauty in the children. So it's not really anything that I do. It's the beauty in all the children that we meet. Like we just recently met Dakota, and we saw him at the Special Olympics breakfast, and we got speaking to the people over at Special Olympics, and Kara Stoughton said, "You have to meet Dakota. He will be excellent in your production." And he is. And this is, he tells me, the first time he's done ballet and dancing, and he's amazing.
Really? So
yeah, he's doing a great job.
So what? Tell us a little bit about this production. What's coming up?
Oh, we are doing Snow White's and the Singing Dwarfs. And so we have Snow White's because we have two sisters, one a typical child, and her sister has cerebral palsy. She's in a chair. And they are our two Snow Whites together. And so far we have 18 dwarfs. So they are singing dwarfs, not the seven dwarfs. And it is a very different production of Snow White. And that is going to be on February 4th at the Cactus Shadows Performing Arts Center out in Scottsdale.
That is so cool. Now, let me ask you, who modifies this whole production? I mean, who writes the script? Do you do it?
I do it, some of it, and then we also have our group of mentors for this production also. And those are children between 11 and 17 who we have seven mentors and team leaders in Snow White. And we meet and we discuss the show and how we would like it to be. So our queen is not a mean queen. She just has insecurity issues.
That's and a good so, way to put it. Yes.
And so by the end of the ballet, she is going to be welcomed by everybody and take part in the celebration that the dwarfs will do.
Oh, how neat is that?
It really is, yeah. So wow. It's the other Snow White.
So when is that? This is February 4th?
February 4th.
And where is it again?
That's at the Cactus Shadows Performing Arts Center, which is on 60th Street, just north of Carefree Highway in Scottsdale.
Wow. And, and how do people participate? Well, you already have your cast.
We have our cast. Because
you want people to show up.
We want lots of people to show up. We want the children to dance to a full house. And they can buy tickets by contacting us at 602-502-2743, and we will organize them.
That is so cool. What's the capacity at this location?
400.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Wow.
We need to get, tickets are $20.
I think Dakota's going to be a star.
He is.
Is he going to be dancing? And what part is he? One of what? What position? What part is it? What part are you, Dakota?
I'm going to be a tree.
You're going to be a tree.
Yes, and also Doc, one of the singing dwarfs.
Oh wow, a singing dwarf.
Yes.
You're going to sing like "Take Me Out to the Ball Game."
Oh no,
no. I mean, it sounds like it'd be a sports type of situation.
Yeah, and you're also going to be dancing, right?
Right.
Yes.
Like break dancing?
Well, it's similar, right? Dakota has fantastic rhythm. Oh, he dances so well.
Yes. I actually have a brother. He's actually 22, and he dances too.
Oh, really? In the production?
That's what I heard.
No, no.
Oh, outside.
Yes.
Probably with in Frank's kitchen, I bet.
Probably.
You know, Frank, you should open up a restaurant called Frank's Kitchen.
It's funny. There's actually a restaurant in Canada called Frank's Kitchen. I contacted them last week.
Really? What'd they say? You want your name back?
They haven't written back yet, but I told them, I was like, I want a free meal.
Yeah, they're probably afraid you're going to take their name.
We'll find out.
Wow.
I'll let you know when I talk to them.
Well, that's so cool. That'd be a nice name, right? Frank's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Right.
Let me just back up a little bit here, and we just talked to the moms and Dakota, and there's just a blending in, and Dakota, you're one of the newest actors or that's part of the team here, but when you talk about inclusiveness, and if anybody watched the debates last night, you know, it's everything that we see on television is everything that, you know, Ballet Academy of Arizona is not about. You know, we're, you know, we're one family. We're, you know, we're one people, and kids helping kids is so natural. Like Kimberly was saying, they don't see the difference. Mm-hmm. There really isn't a difference. Yeah. And it's only when we go back to some of the older paradigms. But, I mean, Dakota's blending right in, coming right in. Everything's expected of him in our own way. And I think that's the beauty, whether you're a typical mom, a typical kid, a special mom, a special kid. And it's all about fun, mm-hmm. you know. And we do a whole lot of things together. And we're building a community. And I just have a blast there, you know, playing with all the kids and having fun. And, you know, we're saying who writes the scripts and all that. Well, you know, the kids that are doing the mentoring, it's a collaboration. And I think the foundation of it is love and fun.
Yes, yes. Always.
Yeah.
Dakota jumped right in last Saturday. He was helping some of the little girls to come on in and he was working with them, mentoring them. It was fabulous.
That is
and
cool.
A testimonial to me, Michelle, is when you say Chelsea, and she can't wait to get there. I mean, that's what tears are all about. That's what the heart's all about. That's what we should all be about, and that's what we're all, you know. I'm the same way. When is it? You know, when can I get out of work and go to, you know, and go there and do that? And
I believe you know when it is. It's February 4th.
What time?
February 4th. 1 o'clock?
5 p.m.
5 o'clock. Yes, 5 o'clock.
But when the kids feel like that, we've had other, you know, kids on here and all that, that's unanimous. And we've also had the moms say they're getting more out of this than the children are. And from a branding perspective, you know, we want to back up and say, wait a minute. The client is the child, and the mom's saying, "Well, I'm having fun here too.
Yeah.
You know, this is helping me."
Oh, it's the family. The more you can make the family feel good about themselves, so
that's
it's not
right.
just the child; it's the whole family that's going to be involved. And I went there to your practice last Saturday, and I don't know if the kids were as excited or the moms were excited. And I know you had to keep a lot of the moms out of the room because the moms wanted to jump in and start to dance and sing also. But
that's right.
All the moms were right there in the doorway. Oh. They wanted to get involved just as much as the kids.
Yeah.
We all talk about our ballet friends when the moms show up. We say, "Oh, hi, ballet friends," and we get excited to see each other. So we tend to stick around and have fun and work on things.
Well, is there a production, Caroline, maybe in the future where it would be kids and moms and dads and
yes, I think
family?
We should.
Wouldn't that be sort of cool?
Yeah. Very cool, yes.
Yeah. Actually, when we were practicing, Frank, when you were there on Saturday, I was scolding two of the mothers that, you know, Caroline said, "Okay, kids, everybody on the line." And the moms were laughing so much. I mean, they were having so much fun. They weren't concentrating.
So you had to scold them. Well, let me ask Kimberly and Michelle, is Tom a meanie? Is he a meanie or what?
I will say there's no mean in this organization.
I know,
at
just
all.
Teasing.
It's and that's one of the things I love about it is that, frankly, Miss Caroline has very high standards, and she expects
yes.
people to work very hard. Everybody contributes, and nobody can sneak off to the side, and everyone is a part of it. They contribute, but there's so much respect in the room for everybody who's participating that people feel very comfortable stepping up to the plate and making their contribution. And I think sometimes the most fun is to see the shy kids who, mm-hmm. you know, just a few weeks into this, they're walking in as leaders and they're marching right in. And I was thinking about it and I have this great idea. And it's wonderful to see them step up.
So it's quite a confidence builder, it sounds like.
For all of the kids involved.
That is excellent.
My daughter's been doing it for years. My boys just started in the productions because, you know, we sat and watched their soccer games, but they kind of liked watching, you know, those performances a lot, and they wanted to be a part of it too. So it's contagious how much fun it is and what a great environment it is.
That is so cool. Why don't we take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We have so many different guests in here. This is the Boss and the Ballerina Show, starring Tom the Boss, Bossmeyer, and Caroline Atkinson, owner and founder of Ballet Academy of Arizona. We also have Kimberly in studio, Michelle, Dakota, and Frank, and that's in kitchen. Okay, and we'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Boss and the Ballerina, starring Tom the Boss Bossmeyer and Caroline Atkinson, owner and founder of Ballet Academy of Arizona. And Tom was doing some production work just now, technical support. Tom, you are good at this. He's laughing. He's approaching the microphone. Oh, it's too far away. Here, you can borrow mine.
Yes, I get to do a little of everything around here. I'm your assistant some of the time.
That's right. My assistant or Caroline's?
I'm her assistant all of the time.
That's right. You're married. Okay, anyway, I won't have a commentary on that, but you can listen to our dating show, Match No Match, every third Monday between 2 and 4. Okay, now let's go to Dakota for 10 points. Oh, this is not a game show. Now, when are you going to start doing pre-autograph sessions? Because you will be a star. You're a star now, but when you're a broadcaster, are you going to do any pre-autograph sessions?
I really don't know.
Okay, but do you need a manager?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I am a CPA. All right, Frank, go back to the kitchen. I'm now the manager. No, are you the manager, sort of?
No, I think I'm more like the roadie or like, you know, part
you're
of the
roadie.
Entourage. I'm part of the entourage.
Oh, that. Can I join you?
Yeah, we can be part of it. We can just ride Dakota's coattails.
What do you say, Dakota, can I be part of the entourage?
Sounds fine.
Wow. All right, let's have a vote here. Who wants to be the entourage?
Oh, everybody, there we go. All
everyone.
The hands are up.
Tom, you're not raising your hand. There he goes, Tom, our producer. Give yourself a round of applause. All right, there's no round of applause. That's you, Tom. We want you a round of applause. Okay, and now he's going to...
There's a round of applause.
Right, I was just kidding. Take it back out. Okay, now let's talk about sports, Special Olympics. Tell us a little bit about that, either Dakota or Frank. Well, you know, tell us a little bit more. You're involved in the Special Olympics?
Yes.
So how are you involved? Are you... how does that work?
The guy next to me here is Mr. Super Athlete. I don't know if he can give you the entire list of what he plays, but if you want to, you should ask him what sports he participates in.
Okay, what sports do you participate in?
Almost anything you can name.
Anything? Okay, can I give it a try?
Yes.
All right, I don't think you're going to participate in this one because I don't even know how it works. It's one of my, okay, everyone's going to laugh, but one of my favorite Olympic sports. What do you think? Oh, you know.
Curling.
Yes. Are you kidding me? How did you know that? Now you said it as Kimberly was saying it, and I thought
we're gonna start.
You were saying it like you're sort of mouthing it, and I heard Frank's voice, and I go, "Oh my God, you're possessed." Okay, so the thing is
ventriloquist here.
Curling. How? Kimberly, how did you know it was curling?
Well, I was at the Salt Lake City Olympics years ago.
Oh,
saw
you were?
Curling, and I agree. It's
but
addictive.
How did you know I liked it?
Because you said it was a far-out guess, so I figured that was about as far out as you could get in Phoenix.
All right. What number am I thinking of? Between $1 and $700 trillion in debt with the U.S. government. Oh, Obama. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so let's go back to Frank. Curling, how did you know it was curling?
Curling is addictive. I was actually in Atlanta a couple of years ago when they had the Olympics, and I'm sitting in a room with a whole bunch of comedians, speakers, and performers. And we're in this room, and we're like watching it like it's the final game of like NBA championship. And we couldn't get our eyes off it. We should be getting ready for a performance or a speech, and we're all in this room watching curling, of which I'm laughing at these people who are just sweeping the floor. And part of me is going, there's still a chance for me to compete in the Olympics because you don't have to be, it doesn't matter what age you are.
I'll tell you, you should see my kitchen. I never win by sweeping the floor.
And people laugh because every now and then I do some MC or comedy work, and I'm telling people, like, tell me or not, if you believe this one, that we couldn't get a group of Mighty Maids or some janitors to go win a gold medal. You know they do this late at night. Somebody's out there waxing the floor, throwing stuff down. And I'm watching this group, like, they're just shoveling through. And I'm going,
it was interesting. And it sort of, you know, it just sort of creeps along, right? So when I jump up in slow motion and say, yeah.
I jumped up. I had no clue how you score, but I know something happened. So we just jumped up and saw the points appear on the board.
But it is interesting. I was thinking that myself. I said, I could do that.
Right.
I don't think the sweeping part, but maybe the throwing part.
I think we should do. You and I can do the sweep, and we have two moms here, and the moms can tell us what to do.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great idea.
Sweep faster. And,
yeah, when we don't do it right, they can yell at us.
Yes.
I'm really liking this idea.
Yeah, exactly. And, wow.
I prepare for this my whole life.
Okay. Kimberly, do you prepare for this too?
I'm okay on the sweeping part.
How about
I think
I'll
defer.
How about on, like, you know.
It's delegation.
Yeah.
Delegation.
Well, that's good. Okay, so curling. I don't know how we got into that, but
Dakota,
is that, well, that's probably not one. Is that one of the sports in the Special Olympics?
No.
Okay, well, let me get some other guesses in. I say basketball.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
I got a point. Okay, this is exciting. I might win a trip to Frank's kitchen. Now, how about baseball?
Yes.
Okay, oh. 2 points.
2 points.
How am I doing?
You're doing good.
Okay, three. Okay. I don't think they track.
Yes.
Thank you to the moms that may not yell at me.
Oh, that's three. Two more and you get a free dinner.
I think tennis? Badminton?
Javelin.
I'm doing volleyball. What?
No.
Oh, you gave me the wrong answer. Tom, what are you going to do about that? You're right next to her.
What about football?
Football.
Flag football.
Okay, that qualifies. So I'm 4 out of 5, thanks to Kimberly. Okay, let's see. Other sports in the Olympics. Swimming?
Yes.
Wow. What's your stroke?
I don't do swimming.
Oh, you don't do swimming?
No.
Oh, I thought he said yes. Let me, okay.
So Dakota, when you're participating at Special Olympics, what's your favorite thing? Is it having fun? Is it being with friends? Talk about that experience of actually being a Special Olympics, you know, local and national athlete.
Well, I've been with Special Olympics for 7 years now as a Special Olympics athlete.
Do you travel?
Yes, for motivational speaking.
Well, you travel for motivational speaking.
Well, he travels for Special Olympics, too. Weren't you a state champion?
Yes.
What sport?
Basketball.
And what else? Did you have something else you guys won?
And baseball. Wow. And I went to San Bernardino, California to play for the championship.
Oh, that is so neat. Wow.
And I almost got a home run, so.
Did you?
Yes.
Kirk Gibson would like you. Have you met Kirk Gibson?
No, I have not.
Manager of the year.
Yes.
He is good.
He is.
You know, we're really blessed with great managers and coaches here. Dave Tippett, Phoenix Coyotes, Coach of the Year 2 years ago.
Yes.
Kevin Guy, Arizona Rattlers. He was Coach of the Year this past season.
I didn't know that.
That's pretty good stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm going to say you're Athlete of the Year.
Yes.
Wow. So tell us about a little bit about unified sports. Frank, why don't you describe what that is?
Well, you want to help me out, Dakota, or no?
No.
No, he's going to let me talk. All right. Usually he shuts me up. He told me he can talk. When you say unified sports, it's just a point with Special Olympics or just a couple other activities that Dakota participates in and I get a chance to go with them, is we're not judging people based off of their abilities. It's just more they want to come out and have fun and participate. So any opportunity to get, if you want to say able-bodied or anybody with some type of disability to play a sport together, that inclusiveness makes them feel a lot more special. Instead of separating the groups out, they can kind of be, you know, have a negative impact on the child. But if you let everybody play together, children just love being with each other. I like to tell people it's more fun when there's more than one. As soon as you get a group of kids together, just watch the energy and the fun they have. They don't care, you know, what you can or can't do. All they want is somebody there to play with them. And Dakota and I watch them with a group. As soon as they get together, there's hugs, there's smiles, and these guys are just like any other athletes. If they lose, they're not the best people to be around. When they're winning, they're probably some of the, you know, most full of themselves athletes I've ever been around.
That's right.
I see he agrees.
So what you're saying, there's Frank, there's no ego involved.
Oh, Dakota has no ego.
Oh, no. I don't have any egos.
You just go out and have fun. Now, maybe that, could that be a potential problem with professional sports these days, where it seems more about the money than the dedication, the loyalty, the love of the sport?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
But yeah, it's about the good question is... That could be, but I think a lot of these professional athletes need to come out and watch the kids who are participating in Special Olympics, or like we were talking about the Olympics earlier, you know, maybe that's why we like curling earlier, because maybe those people aren't playing for a contract or money, it's just for the pure love. And if you watch the energy, I went to watch Dakota bowl with a group, and I caught myself jumping up and down screaming when any of these kids would get a strike or even just knock one pin down.
Wow.
And the energy in the room was amazing.
Dakota, you do bowling?
Yes.
What's your, like, how often do you play, let's say?
Not very often.
Yeah, me neither. Last time I went bowling, the ball threw me down the lanes.
That's a habit to my dad.
Really? I was just kidding.
He went outside for a smoke, and he had the suit covers on his shoes. And when he came in, he started to bowl. And didn't recognize that he had those covers on his shoes.
Oh, wow.
He actually bowled and he fell right down the alley.
That is funny. Was it a strike at least?
No.
Oh, you mean he bounced off the pins and came backwards?
Oh, no.
Wow. Bowling, that's sort of fun. I'm not very good at that. But you bowl for fun, right? Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, they bowl for fun, but when they bowl or they compete with these activities, there's actually awards and medals. And Dakota, I have to say, probably has about 100 pounds worth of awards in his room.
Wow. Is that right? You are a superstar. Wow, that is pretty amazing.
That is.
You know, it's so nice just to do what you love, right, Dakota?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and I think that's what the world needs. I mean, everyone has it seems the culture sometimes pressures people to do stuff, things maybe they don't like to do, but they think they have to do to please someone, to maybe make ends meet, to do things that almost without a purpose. It's like, you know, they just want to climb the ladder for whether it's egotistical purposes, power, and greed. I think that's what's happening. And it's so refreshing to see people just participate out of the love of what they do and really to create happiness for other people.
And I think you see that at our ballet productions, because typically at a ballet production you don't see people standing up and cheering. But I can say that's actually happened, is you'll have kids come on and they'll do these wonderful things, and you know, it's almost interactive, which is of course not typical for ballet, but for what we do, because the kids are having so much fun because they love what they're doing, the families are so glad to be there, and the entire audience sort of gets into it, just like you were jumping up and down when kids were getting strikes. That's really what our ballet performances are like. They're not a bit dry, maybe, is, you know, or a serious endeavor. It's meant to be fun for everybody.
That is so cool. Now, Michelle, on the break, you were talking about how your child was really actively pretty much participating. It wasn't some a situation where, well, maybe she was a flower in the back or whatever, but describe what that means.
Definitely. Like we were talking in the break, there's inclusive and then there's inclusive. And I wasn't sure when she first started this if she'd be, you know, a flower sitting in the back but never really participating in ballet, that, you know, being on stage to shine as a little star. And she was definitely out there. She was a mouse, and in the Cinderella production, and she loved being a mouse. And she, my daughter has a big personality, and she got to show that full extent of her big personality on stage in the Cinderella production. So
that is so cool. Now, is she in Snow White?
Yes, she is in the Snow White. She is one of the singing dwarves. She's sleepy. She's been practicing her yawning and stretching. And she's also a tree as well as a diamond in the, from the mine. She's a little diamond in the mine.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that's
I bet all
exciting.
The kids are diamonds, right?
There are jewels,
yeah,
that's for sure.
No. So Caroline, let's ask a couple other questions behind the scenes. You know, how do you put this production together? You know, it probably takes a multiple of skill sets, organization, also coming from your heart and soul, your compassion, your background, your talent in ballet. How do you put it all together? I know this guy over here, Mr. Tom, the boss, Bossmeyer, I'm sure he's a big help, too.
He is. Yes, he's amazing. But the way we do it, the way that I find the best way to do it is to work around the music. So once we have the music, then I can create the choreography, and then the story comes to be. And both Dakota was saying and Chelsea, they are trees, and that might seem an unusual role for it to be in a ballet. But the way that Snow White is developing is that as soon as the Snow Whites throw out to the universe that they need help, everything starts moving. And so the trees are symbolic of taking these two children, and they just alert the whole world that these two girls are coming. And so even the plants and the animals and everything is there to welcome them. And so once that first call goes out that Snow White sings into the wishing well, the dwarves answer. Do you remember? We have the guys coming in. And so we don't have a prince. The dwarves answer at that point that they hear her. And so everything starts moving to help her.
Wow. And, you know,
and that's how it's going.
How interesting, because you were talking about being inclusive, and what you've done is include all the elements of the universe, it sounds
like. Yes, yes.
That is sort of a cool metaphor, right?
Very cool. Yeah, it is. So it's kind of taking on its own life now. And it's so if anyone wants to see, like Kim was saying, a production that is interactive with the audience and really getting into it, this is going to be that production.
That is so
cool.
It's February
very cool.
4th, it's coming up.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of singing, audience participation, and we are going to have some of the audience come up and join us in the celebration at the end.
Is that right?
So, yes, some of these moms. We will be telling them that and inviting them in the next practice and to.
And they didn't know that. They're like, oh, they're going to be stars. So
that's right.
Kimberly and Michelle, how do you feel about participating in this production?
Oh, it's so much fun. And it's like I was saying, it's a family affair. The entire family gets involved, and it's just a wonderful way to spend time together and get to have an experience like that. I was a party parent in the Nutcracker, so this is not my first big starring role.
Oh, when you said party parent, I'm glad you clarified that. I thought party parent down at, you know, Mills at Tempe. You didn't mean that.
No, I got to bring some children to a lovely Victorian party and
cool.
experience that on stage with them. So it'll be fun.
Yes.
And Michelle, you're excited to be possibly participating in this production.
Well, I've been singing along with Chelsea to all of the CD that Miss Caroline provided. So I've been working on my yodel, and so I may be debuting.
You let the cat out of the bag.
Yodel.
Can you do a yodel for us?
Come on, give me some yodeling.
Yodel-y,
yodel-y. Oh my gosh, that is good. Here, do that again. I like that. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay.
Oh, that is fantastic. Kimberly's looking at me like, am I going to ask her to yodel? But you don't.
I only dance.
Oh, you dance? Then I'll ask you to dance. No, I'm kidding. We did have someone dance the other day in the studio. And, okay. Anyway, Frank, it looks like you have something on your mind because you're listening.
I do. I want to see. Yes. I think we got a bit of a correlation here and also a mismatch. We're talking about two segments of society or whatever, sports and arts. And there's a lot of things in common. Sports benefits, children. I grew up playing soccer, became an All-American, got a college scholarship because of soccer through the YMCA, the boys clubs, all that type of. And the sports dollar today is, you know, there's so much money out there, I don't even want to talk about it, which I don't believe is good. And then we have the arts. And we have all the children, and again, I'm blending here. I'm not talking typical or special needs children. I'm talking about the, you know, everything. Come on, we arts is something that we can all embrace. And when you're combining dance and music and yodeling, I mean, money comparison in the arts versus sports is it's not even the same conversation yet. What develops character in people? Both. But, you know, I think what we're talking about in the Ballet Academy, it's for everybody that just wants to be a tree, a bush, have fun, be a part of the team, grow, change lives. And that's what Caroline's done. And I've come along for the ride and I'm loving it. Maybe it's time for me to make a call out here. If anybody's listening to this from a corporation, Phoenix, Arizona is challenged in the nonprofit sector. And I don't care whether you're the Special Olympics or you're United Way or you're the Ballet Academy of Arizona. There's a funding requirement to get all these kids on stage and rent these nice halls and backdrops and Caroline's time and all that. And so if you're looking for a good area to invest some time, energy, money, or contributions, consider the arts. And, you know, while I'm making a plug for it, consider Ballet Academy of Arizona because it's helping children of any age, regardless of anything. You know, it's totally inclusive. So got a little carried away there, but, you know, I love them both, sports and the arts. I mean, it develops, you know, our children into what they're going to lead us in the future.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, whether it's sports or arts, the bottom line there is really going towards your passion, whatever it is.
Right.
And doing it because of passion and not because of any other interferences like ego, power, greed, money. I mean, that unfortunately does happen, and even to the best of the sports athletes sometimes where they will start off with the love of the game, but then sometimes things happen and interferences get in the way, and it really takes them ultimately down, I think. I think it's a problem. But we have a couple athletes out here that really do it for the love of the game, and Dakota, I think you're going to know who this is the great, the fantastic, the best captain in the National Hockey League is from the Phoenix Coyotes, Shane Doan.
That's right.
There's no question he is an amazing individual, a family guy, and he's just an amazing leader, and he doesn't do it just, you know, for the money. I mean, this guy could have made a lot more money 5 years ago when he re-signed for a discount, I believe, in mm-hmm. Phoenix. So, Tom, that's what you're talking about, and any listeners out there, really go to your passion. I mean, remember the TV soap opera One Life to Live? You know, one life to live, do it, make the best out of it, go and excel, reach your full potential, whatever that is. That's really important, and there's just not enough people doing that. Don't pay attention to the media, except Breakthrough Thinking. But, I mean, the advertisers that get people off their path, and when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the boss and the ballerina. Great guests. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back.